Good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. After our Bible study on Wednesday evening, I was prompted to think about the sermon for this morning and reminded of a sermon I preached about 12 or 13 years ago about the presence of God. As we were reflecting on the Ascension Day and one of the reasons why Jesus had to go away, we were reminded that Jesus had to go away so that the Spirit would come and the presence of God would come. And so I wanted just to remind us again this morning of the wonderful reality and the wonderful joy that we as believers can have of knowing the ongoing presence of the Lord. The technical term that theologians use to describe the ongoing presence of God is the word omnipresent. God is always present. And so, just as an encouragement to us this morning, and as a reminder, friends, and even as James is reminding us, friends, God's with us all the time. Doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter what we're facing. The reality is that He is with us all the time. So I want us to just reflect on that. First of all, I want to remind you of the reality of the presence of God, of the omnipresence of God. Friend, God is always present. Well, first of all, the presence of God is assumed at creation. The reality is the scientific world can't understand this. They can't understand, friends, that God has always been there. And the Bible opens with those incredible verses, in the beginning, which tells us the time, in the beginning, God. It doesn't say, well, God was first created. It doesn't say, you know, God first, you know, appeared. It just assumes that God is there. And there's a great encouragement for us, friends. As much as the scientific world tries to explain away the reality of a divine being, is that all they're actually doing when they're trying to explain away the reality of a divine being is that they're trying to make themselves the divine being. Because if you have a divine being, then you have to be accountable to that divine being. So the omnipresence, the presence of God, is assumed at creation. Secondly, it's acknowledged as one of the fundamental principles of the covenant God made with Israel. One of the first interactions God had with a people that He called His own people, that He wanted to be with after kicking out Adam and Eve from the garden. When He began the process, friends, of revealing His salvation plan through the people of Israel, the very reality, friends, is that as God introduces Himself, we are reminded that He exists. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. God says to the nation of Israel, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. And friends, we can be greatly encouraged by that. There is no other God. There is no other name by which we may be saved other than Jesus. But friends, when God reveals Himself to the people of Israel, He makes it very clear that there is no other God. There is only one who is called God. We can draw great encouragement from that, friends, that the faith that we are a part of, Christianity, builds upon the foundation of the Jewish faith revealed in the Old Testament. And then when Jesus comes and makes the presence of God real in a very different way, friends, the foundation of that religion is a God who has always been there. A God who is God of heaven above, and a God who is God of the earth below, and there is no other. Thirdly, friends, we're reminded that the presence of God needs to be the focus of our worship. The songs that I chose this morning were specifically chosen just to remind us of the presence of God. Just to draw our attention, friends, you know, sometimes we come to church and we're distracted by the world around us. Perhaps we had a difficult morning. I can remember when, you know, we were raising children, how difficult it was to get children out of the house on a Sunday morning. You know, and oftentimes, well, being a man's family, we just had to go to church. We didn't have an option to say, well, you know, today, kids, we're going to stay at home. We just had to be at church because, after all, I was going to be the preacher. And oftentimes, it was a fight to get the children out of the house. And then when we get to church, you know, you're still all kind of angry and frustrated and, you know, all hassled. And then all of a sudden, you've got to kind of be in the presence of God because, you know, now you're in church. But friends, God's always there. God is to be the central focus. And the wonder of corporate worship, friends, is that we can draw aside from worldly things. Listen to what David says in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even darkness will not be dark to you, and night will shine like the day. Friend, what a great encouragement we can draw from David's life. That in spite of the circumstances he faced, in spite of where he may have been, the account that we read a little bit earlier on, James read for us a little bit earlier on, and many others, friends. David in the depths of the caves. David when he was acting mad. David when his son was pursuing him. It didn't matter where David was, friends, whether he was at the tabernacle or whether he was in the mountains, he always sensed the presence of God with him. So we can worship God anywhere. We don't have to come to church. We can worship him wherever we go. But friends, the wonderful reality is when we come into this building, when you come into a sanctuary like this, friends, you can sense the God or presence of God in perhaps a more unique way than you do in your everyday life. Fourthly, how do we know God's presence? Well, friends, most importantly of all, while God is assumed at creation and God is acknowledged as being the mover of the covenant with Israel, and God can be adored in our worship, friends, the most important thing is God, the presence of God is assured by the presence of Christ himself. The very word incarnation, the very word Emmanuel means God with us. Friends, when Jesus came from heaven, when God came from heaven and lived amongst us, he left with this incredible, wonderful promise. And this is what I was reminded of on Wednesday evening. Friends, when Jesus left, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of this age." Why will he only be with us to the end of this age? Because then we will be with him. Then we don't need to wonder whether he's with us. Then we will know he is with us because we will be in his presence. So whatever you're facing at the moment, friend, whatever you're going through, if it feels as if God is 100 miles away, if it feels as if, you know, when you're knocking on the door of heaven, when it feels as if God is not answering your prayers, let me remind you, friend, God hasn't moved. God is still there. God is always at hand. So why does it feel sometimes that while we know God is always at hand, why does it sometimes feel that maybe God is far away? So while we believe in the reality of God's presence, I want to remind us, friends, that sometimes we need to recognize that it may feel that God is not at hand. Why is that? Well, there are two reasons. One of them is we may have moved. We may have moved away from the presence of God. In Exodus chapter 33, as the people of Israel were moving around, as they were going from Egypt up to the promised land, Moses says this in Exodus 33 verse 15. Moses said to him, "If your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us from here." What Moses, friends, is reminding us is that sometimes we try to run ahead of God. We try and do our thing without trusting the presence of God. Moses reminded God, "Lord, please never let us go into a situation where you are not leading or guiding us." Now, for the nation of Israel, it was wonderful that they had a physical representation of the presence of God in a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night time. They could be assured of the presence of God because they could physically see it. But for us living in the New Testament, like I was telling the children a little bit earlier on, while the reality is God is like the air around us, we can't always see it. But friends, we can, like the air around us, when the wind is blowing, we will be able to feel it. We need to make sure, friends, that when we are moving, that we are moving in the presence of God. We really need to know that God is with us. And then there may be a time, friends, although this is really an Old Testament principle, where in the Old Testament, God may remove the sense of his presence from us. David says in Psalm 51, one of the psalms that David, in which David expresses his confession of his sin with Bathsheba. He says this to God, "Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." You see, friends, David got into a place where it felt as if God was far away, not because God had moved, but because David had done something in his life that separated him from feeling God close by. If God is feeling far away, friend, perhaps you need to ask yourself, is there sin in my life that I need to put right with God, that I need to plead with God like David did in Psalm 51, acknowledge my sin so that the experience and the felt presence of God becomes a reality again. God is always there, friends. Let's never lose sight of that. But let's remember that sometimes it may feel as if he's not there because of what we have done. We have moved without him, without asking him to go with us. Or we have moved away from him because of the sin that is in our lives. So how do we deal with that? Well, friends, what we need to be reminded of is that Christ is with us. Jesus has promised never to leave us or forsake us. We first experience the real presence of God when we become a believer. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to the forefathers through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Friends, Jesus is God. We need to live daily in relationship with him. And how do we build that relationship with him? Friend, the sense of the presence of God becomes more real as you spend more time with God. We're reminded in John 15, Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt." During this last week, Patricia has been away. She left last Sunday already. But you know, because we live and work so intimately and closely together, we're always with each other. You know, there are very seldom times when I'm away, or even if I am away, when I come down to the church here, I'm not away for a long time. I'm just away for a few hours and then I'm back at the house. And there are occasions, very few occasions, where Patricia goes on short trips. But every now and then, like this week, she had to be away for the whole week. You know, it gets pretty lonely when you're on your own, isn't it? Sometimes, if I was sitting watching TV, and I see something on TV that, you know, kind of engages me. And normally, you know, if we're watching TV together, we may have a conversation about something we've just seen, or when we do our devotions together in the morning, we talk about those. And even this last week, as I've sat there, I sometimes find myself almost starting a conversation with Patricia, even though she's not there. I know some of you think perhaps I'm getting a little bit mad, but that could be fine. But you know, that's what happens when you've been together for as long as we have. You kind of, it kind of feels as if she's still there, even though I know that she's far, far away at the moment. Well, we've spent many, many hours talking on the phone, even during this last week. Because, friends, our relationship isn't built on us talking to each other all the time. Sometimes there's a whole day when, you know, we may have only spoken to each other, you know, in functional ways. Do you want a cup of coffee? Or can I get you a glass of water? Or something like that. But because there are the moments when we talk about deep things, because there are many of those, I know when I'm watching something or doing something or listening to a devotion or reading a devotion, I know what she's thinking about that. Even although she may be doing the devotion 1,000 kilometers from where I am. And that's the kind of relationship Jesus wants to have with us. Friends, Christ is with us. He's there all the time. In our case, we're not separated. I'm not separated from Christ. When I'm doing what is good, He's there. When I'm doing what is bad, He's there. Friend, Jesus is always there. If you look at the Old Testament, Jesus revealed himself time and time and time again. That's what we were reminded of on Wednesday night, as Ben reminded us. Friends, one of the reasons Jesus needed to leave is that we have the wonderful privilege of having the Spirit of God with us at all times, in every way. We're never out of His presence. We're always with Him. He's always with us. Wherever you're facing at the moment, friend, wherever you're going, as James and Armini go off to New Zealand, we can know that the Spirit of God is going with them. We don't need to worry about them, because the same Spirit of God that is with them in this place will be with them many thousands of kilometers away from us. Friend, let me remind you, God is now here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the reality of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that even although sometimes it may feel as if you're far away, you've never moved. You're still with us. Help us, Lord, if it feels as if you're far away, help us to make a right with you so that we may sense the joy of your presence again. Don't take your Spirit away from us, as David sensed, Lord. But give us a clean heart that we may live in the reality of being connected to the vine in every way. We pray that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.